It is indeed good to be together after another week and to celebrate this day of fatherhood. Happy Father's Day to all our dads out there. We give thanks to you for your life and leadership of the church and the family in Christ our Savior. As we look at the readings this morning, it's interesting to see how God has taken the image or the analogy of a tree and likened it to the family or to the church in a couple of beautiful ways. We have the illustration of the mustard seed, not technically the smallest seed on the earth, but small, and certainly small in comparison to the plant or tree that it can grow into. And so the analogy there of small things having a great impact. And certainly as we look at the nature of faith, the analogy holds true. Faith, something that grabs hold of a moment or a belief, a hope, an expectation or anticipation that is not yet realized, certainly not visible, but faith believes. Faith looks at the moment and says, I can't see it all yet, but I'm trusting something of God that this will be made reality. It's like the analogy given there in the Ezekiel passage where God takes a sprig from the top of a cedar tree. Now, I'm not that particular kind of scientist, but I don't know that cedar grows this way. Perhaps, I guess, you know, I know that cuttings can be taken at various plants and various parts of the plant, and I think usually it's the sense that where growth is taking place, that the cutting can be taken, and from that, a new plant or tree can be possible, all things going right. But the passage here with God saying, I will take this cutting, I will plant it, I will nurture it, and it will become, is something to the sovereignty of God. I will do this, he says. And so beyond the moment of believing it or not is the promise of God and the willingness to trust that promise of God there in spite of the moment or the circumstances. And this, frankly, is not necessarily where we'd like to live. We prefer to have things that are large and conveying or exuding confidence, trust. Think of perhaps our nation and our country. In our coinage or on our coinage is the phrase, in God we trust. But really, is that where faith and trust or confidence is couched in our people? Sometimes we look to the president and we'd say, in the president I trust, or not. Others might say, in the economy I trust, and again, or not. Or perhaps, in the military I trust, or not. The power, the size, the speed of our bombs and etc., or not. In God we trust. Consider your life. In all the things that it takes to sustain your life, the providence of food, to whom do you trust or look? Is it one that brings home the bacon, so to speak, to say, I trust this job or this vocation? Is it the sense of, I trust my ability, myself, my work ethic, my reputation as this or that? Surely, regardless of things around, within, I can trust these things subtly. We may easily move beyond "in God we trust" to "in self I trust." And for many of us, thankfully, in many ways we'd say, well, I have been able to trust my ability to make a living. I have been able to trust the economy to provide me an opportunity with which I might make a living. And beyond that, I trust that when I get to the grocery store with my card or what have you, that everything will work and there'll be food on the shelf and everything will go smoothly and fine for me. And others would say, no, there are times when I have been to the store and the food wasn't on the shelf, or times when I went and I filled my basket and what have you, but as I stepped and stuck my card in, something was amiss and it didn't work. I trust in God. In God we trust. Oh, the beauty of this fundamental reality of life. In God we trust. Scripture is full of stories in which great and wonderful things were made possible, did become reality because of that fundamental thought. We live by faith, not by sight. I hope, surely, that each of us have in our hearts and our minds those stories in a way that we especially treasure these. Perhaps it's Daniel in the lion's den. I mean, think of the odds in that moment, being thrown into that pit, and the likely outcome, and Daniel praying and trusting his God, and the king coming the next morning. Daniel, has your God been able to spare you from the lions? And the reply, yes, I'm here. The beauty of that moment. Oh, and others. Noah, why on earth are you building an ark, a boat this large, this big, in the midst of a valley in which there is no flood in sight? Noah, how long did it take you to build that boat? Oh, about 100 years. And you heard comments like that all throughout that time, Noah, and you continued steadfastly to be obedient to the word, the vision that God had gave you, and you ultimately accomplished that task? Well, yes, indeed. One day at a time, I trusted the word of my God, and I did what he had given me to do that day with the strength and the resources he had given me that day to accomplish them. And so here I am, the preserver of mankind, for that simple trust in God beyond all observable evidence. Trust in God. And so you know, the story is full, Scripture is full of those kind of moments and that reality that our God is worthy of our trust and our confidence. And perhaps it's just that kind of moment that allows the farmer to sow the seed into the ground and to trust that the things that have been happening will continue to happen, and that the nature of things and causation and all of this will take place to such an effect that I can forget about this seed. I really don't pay attention to it. And then as I watch before my eyes, I get the realization I need to prepare for a harvest. You may not be aware of this, but you have walked just right past such an illustration on your way into our sanctuary. Don't you think the hydrangeas out there are just outrageous? Yeah. Huh. Recently was visiting my brother-in-law, who is a nursery, whatever the technology, the vocation, that was his first degree, horticulture, thank you. And he has tended a beautiful garden, but I noticed that his hydrangea was maybe, the bloom, maybe something like this big, and I thought, whoa. You attend this thing and you exert and you have knowledge, but the hydrangeas at my church, they just sit out there. Maybe the sprinkler comes on and maybe it doesn't, but they just sit out there. And whoa, they're volleyball size, all by itself. This amazing moment of the providence of God happening all by itself. What about the reality then of faith being this tiny, tiny little moment of God's work in your heart and your mind? It's practically imperceivable. But consider the abundance that it can grow into. All by itself, it has that nature within it. A dynamic power, all by itself, to mature, to shape character and heart and mind and life to be much more than simply about myself, consumption, my ability, my power, my aptitude, my reputation, my money, all these things that we might otherwise trust and very subtly find ourselves bowing down, kneeling down to worship. In God we trust. Indeed, it takes a certain discipline to step past and outside oneself. And it begins, I believe, with a sense of gratitude and acknowledgement to God. Thank you, dear Lord, for that beautiful hydrangea. Not just those few that are there, but for all the glory of creation all around us, raising up arms, producing, providing, honoring, glorifying you, dear God, with their very life and their existence. Simply doing what they were made to do. Dear God, may our lives flourish, be abundant, prolific with that kind of beauty, because you have cast your word into our hearts and our minds. And it is this word, dear God, this word that gives us beauty and radiance and strength, fortitude, love, compassion, wisdom, this word, dear Lord. What a beautiful, powerful thing it is. For as we look to creation, we recall that it was word of God, that called it into being out of nothing. And so word of God, still, in this age of evidence and science and all of that, not that we're competing here, but simply saying, word of God, what a beautiful treasure it is to have this description of my God, my creating God. And this description of my God, my redeeming God. And this description of my God, Spirit, sanctifying God to fill our lives. This, dear friends, is true delight for us. True delight. We're amused with all sorts of things. We're attracted here and there by all sorts of things. But it's this word, that properly adorns and dignifies our substance as humans, people made in the likeness of our Creator. Let the Word of God have its way with you, heart and mind. Come to the text with a sense of yearning, hunger, and thirst. Open it up. Meander about. Explore. Treasure. Hide it in your heart. Take care to your hearts. Here is the wellspring of life. And here, from this, comes forth the words of our mouths. Well, I've not yet said much about dads, about fatherhood, but I suspect that as we look to them, it's the Word of God having its way with dad in shaping his heart and his life that truly brings us to this moment of thank you, Father, for our earthly fathers, for the various ways that their life, their words, their thoughts were evidence again of your providence, your nature, your character, and this amazing reality. We live by faith and not by sight. How wonderful for us to have a Father in glory, in full perfection, where all of our dads miss the mark in any number of ways, but we come to Him with ourselves. We open up before Him. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your will be done, your kingdom come. And so life unfolds because we're connected to the eternal glory of our God and our Savior. God bless you, dads, as you live out your high calling in the name of Jesus. It's a great and imperative moment for our culture, our country, for the whole world. God bless you all as you come to the text, to the Word of our living God, and open it up with a sense of wonder. What does my God have for me today in something that seems so small, but bears such grand promise, such beautiful promise, such prolific life? God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.